Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. Welcome back to my channel. And here I'm commenting on the local elections which took place in England. Scotland and Northern Ireland have a different time. I'm not sure about Wales. But the first Thursday of November is elections to local councils in England, which can be borough councils, county council level above that, city councils, for some directly elected mayors. So Blair brought that idea in. Is that you get a vote for your councillor and you get a vote for the mayor of your city. Because previously you elect the local council, roughly 50 councillors, and they choose a mayor from amongst themselves. So what are the headlines? Well, obviously it's electoral misery for the Conservative and Unionist Party. Certainly significant gains for Labour, but it's not the breakthrough that they were hoping. It's not a sort of pre-97 level breakthrough. Liberal Democrats, some healthy gains. The Greens are the real winners of this. Their number of seats has gone up 70%, and that is staggering. And that's actually deeply worrying for Labour. Reform UK have got a grand total of one council out of this. Quite a lot of independents elected and a few Reform Association people of, you know, not Reform Association, Residents Association. So in some places, people set up a Residents Association, say we want the best for our area. We're non-ideological. We're not a political party. We don't care about national politics. These are valence issues. We want bins collected regularly. We want the roads and pavements and street lighting in a good state of repair. We're going to oppose an unpopular development or building on the green belt, or we're going to oppose licenses for whatever it might be, noisy pubs or something like that. They tend to be older and often more affluent people who have been rooted in that area for decades, indeed generations. And so they often want to keep the local council tax down. Remember, local councils can increase up to 4.9% by law. They can't increase it beyond that, even if everybody in the area wanted to. And the other thing is, whatever amount you can pay in council tax, they'll really insist on value for money. Everyone would do that, whether you're left wing, right wing, centrist, how much tax you want to pay. You want to make sure that not a penny is wasted. If you buy things, it's not unnecessarily expensive. The items you buy are used, the services are efficient, and so forth. So the Residents Association are sort of eating into Conservative votes a lot. So, so let's go do more of a deep dive for it. So Rishi Sunak's Conservative Party was defending roughly 950 local council seats. People said losing 500 would be a disaster. Now, the Tories have so far lost 450, and almost all the results are in. So this is not quite disaster zone, but it's still very bad. Perhaps it's splitting hairs to say it's not quite catastrophic. So of the 450 seats the Conservatives lost, fewer than half went to Labour, maybe 40% went to Labour. So Liberal Democrats, they've made some substantial gains, won a couple of local councils, particularly in Southwest England. But this is not marvellous for the Lib Dems. It's good news. But they should be doing rather better, because when the Tories are bitterly unpopular and Labour is not setting the world ablaze because they're saddled with this deeply uninspiring leader, you'd think this be a golden opportunity for the Liberal Democrats, but they're not capitalising. Remember, at a national Labour is promising to do precious little except not increase taxation. So how are you going to prove anything if you don't increase tax efficiency savings? Everybody says that, which proved to be very elusive in practice. They will cancel the Rwanda plan just as it appears to be bearing fruit. The first person deported to Rwanda, admittedly voluntarily, in return for a £3,000 payment, a failed asylum seeker. Rishi Sunak promises us that in July, the first flight will take off to Rwanda. You know, we've been hearing this about 2 years, and no airline is willing to fly them, so far as we know. The RAF might have to do it, the much overstretched RAF, when the UK could be drawn into a war in Ukraine, in the Middle East, in the Falklands, with Argentina bumping up its air force. Hardly a military priority, but we go on. So Reform United Kingdom, that used to be the Brexit party itself, an outgrowth of the UK Independence Party. So Reform UK only stood a couple of hundred candidates, and they've got a grand total of one councillor, but they are spoilers, Eurosceptics, right-wingers. They appealed to disaffected Conservatives, and of course there's every reason for disgruntlement if you're a right-leaning voter, and that's why they've taken several percentage of the vote and deprived the Conservatives probably dozens of council seats. But it's surprising that Reform UK haven't stood everywhere. Remember, the United Kingdom Independence Party in its glory days stood almost everywhere, got dozens of councils, and even controlled a couple of councils. But last time I checked, 20,000 local councils in the United Kingdom. How many does UKIP have? A grand total of 3. So it's more or less extinct, even at local government level. But why does Reform UK not do this? Maybe they just don't have the infrastructure. Remember, they're a very new party. They don't have the funds. So they suggest they're not that good at leafleting, not terribly organized, don't have people for canvassing, which actually bodes ill for them when it comes to general elections. Remember canvassing? Hello, I'm calling on behalf of whichever party. May we count on your vote on Thursday? Blah, blah, blah. Would you like a leaflet? Okay, you want to speak to the candidate, arrange for him to phone you or come and visit in person, whatever it is. Identifying support and then reminding them to vote on the day, driving the vote if necessary, which is obviously less important than it used to be because, of course, everybody's been allowed postal votes from 2001 without having to give a reason like infirmity or disability are going to be abroad at the time. So they're not going to perform as strongly in the general election as you might think. It could be that they're saving their strength and their limited funds for the Westminster election, which is expected the back end of this year. People were saying, you know, in January, it was going to be held in May. Well, that's definitely not true. Let me see, you know, you can, if there's a tiny party, you go from winning a few councillors to maybe winning MPs in the old days, members of the European Parliament. And that's where the UK Independence Party really broke through. It's a curious irony that UKIP only did well because of the European Parliament and that proportional representation system, without which we never would have heard of them because they never would have got anyone in Westminster. What else? The UK is divided into wards for the purpose of local elections, between 3,000 and 9,000 voters, not people, voters. So there's roughly one councillor per 3,000 voters. So a ward will have one, two or three councillors to elect, depending on how many registered voters there are. Turnout in local elections is typically 30%. I know someone who didn't vote despite being a candidate. So if you are a candidate for a major party, you've got to remember 70% of people will not vote in most wards. 10% will definitely vote for your party if you're like Labour or Conservative. 10% will definitely vote against you on average. But it's that 10% in the middle you need to persuade. And remember the ones who are going to vote for you, actually convince them to vote on the day, remind them to vote. Because motivation is lower, it doesn't really matter, it's kind of boring, it's not Westminster. They're often thinking about Westminster issues, even when it's the local election, even though it's nothing to do with Westminster. So reading the tea leaves from this local election is ominous for the Conservative and Unionist Party. It spells doom. And now the directly elected mayor's results are not in. So the big one, obviously, to watch is London, where it's highly probable that Sadiq Khan will win. I gave him a 10 percentage point lead. I'm saying he's going to win by. Now, bear in mind that turnout was actually quite high in outer London, which is more conservative inclined than inner London, which is more working class, ethnic minority, younger, Labour inclined. But nevertheless, Labour is going to win. So at the national level, Labour have only got 35% of the vote. So that's good, but they're not cock-a-hoop about it. They're not they're beating the Tories, but they're not smashing them out of sight, partly because the vote is going somewhere else. People are always trying to compare this to 97, to Blair's triumph. Well, he romped home partly because he didn't have minor parties as a significant obstacle. Yes, the Liberal Democrats getting, what was it, like 16% of the vote back then, and the Lib Dems would be lucky to be that high this time. But the SNP was much weaker. The SNP only get about 20% of the vote in Scotland. Even in a bad year for Westminster, SNP probably get like 35% of the vote in Scotland. And the Greens are a much more significant factor. They are the extreme left party. So people who are dissatisfied with Labour will vote for them. The environment's much more at the forefront of people's minds. Even Reform UK, some fed up working class voters based on resentment would vote Labour, might not but vote Reform UK. And so on, suspecting Labour trying to undo Brexit. So that's why I'm saying Labour's going to win. I think actually they will get a majority, but not a huge majority. So the result is Greater Manchester going to come in. Andy Burnham, former Labour cabinet minister, almost certainly could be elected by a landslide there again. West Midlands looks like Andy Street, the Conservative, will win narrowly. Most of places just outside Birmingham, not Broome itself, that are going to vote for him. He's dissociated himself from the party as much as possible. Merseyside, Labour win, of course. Teesside, about the only bright spot on the horizon for the Tories, is this area of northeast England. Lord Ben Houchen, a Conservative, held on to his seat with a much reduced majority. Partly he's very popular personally, not for the Conservative Party. But we'll see. So we'll see what the result for the London Assembly, as obviously I'm saying, it's going to be a Labour majority for the first time in 8 years. So the Ides of March for Rishi Sunak. Some Tories are sharpening their knives and looking for his back. But people, you know, I don't think the Conservative Party is quite that suicidal. They need 52 signatures of Tory MPs in a letter to the chairman of the 1922 committee to force a vote of confidence. But, you know, Sunak is rumored to call an early election if that ever happens to forestall it. If he has to be voted out, he'd rather be voted out by the public and not by his parliamentary colleagues. What on earth would he do as a 43-year-old ex-prime minister who's already a multi-multi-billionaire? So the Conservative Party is headed for a very heavy defeat. Maybe this is worse since 1832. And even 97 was annus horribilis, but not on that case, that scale. That doesn't mean that Labour's going to win by quite as much as people think they are in 97. So poor old Sunak is morose. Nothing he seems to do raises party in the polls. Somewhat rosy economic news, cut to national insurance. The Rwanda plan starting to pay off. I can't think what else. Aid to Ukraine, is that helping at all? Taking away people's rights to smoke. Yeah, a lot of bigots and nanny staters out there who like that. So appealing to demagoguery like that. But anyway, the Conservative Party is not going to go extinct. It's a whole mindset because it's attitude, and it won't vanish. Right. So we'll see the results of the major metropolitan mayoral elections later this evening. Thank you so much for watching, and please make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79 at gmail.com. Toodaloo.